As we continue this topic of mitzvah haba b'aveira, just to add to the synergy that we had from Shabbos, it's really quite a fascinating parallel to draw. Doing the sugya over the course of Shabbos Vayikra, we had an opportunity to mention a little bit during our Parsha Shir on Thursday about how the topic of this sugya is really emphasized throughout the Parsha, and that there is an interesting parallel we can draw in that the avoidance that we have, or the repulsion perhaps, if you will, or the abhorrence, whatever word you'd like to use, regarding Gezel is front and center in a lot of ways. And whatever relationship there is between a Korban and a Lulav, both of them seem to start with a objection to Gezel, even though they're both very intricate areas of halacha with lots of details. First, we learn about Gezel. So we saw that was Chazal's understanding of Adam Kiyakrif Mikam Korban in the very beginning of Vayikra. We see that's the first thing the Mishnah, in the first Mishnah in the Parak, tells us, Lulav HaGezel, before it tells us all of the other very complicated and detailed rules regarding lulav. And when it comes to sukkah, it's not necessarily the first thing, but perhaps it's something which has its own importance, because sukkah seems to be singled out for exclusion for Gezel also, and that's what prompts the question of the Rishonim on Daf Tes: Why is sukkah singled out when we know we have a rule of mitzvah abav yaveira anyway, which should have applied to sukkah? And that's a very important question, which prompts a lot of discussions, which we'll come back to in a moment. So, in terms of its relationship to Korbanos, so we mentioned on Thursday in the context of the Parsha Shir how it seems to really cast a big doubt in your whole mindset in terms of the Korban. The idea that you would even think that bringing a stolen Korban could make sense displays already a very, very seriously misguided sense of what the concept is about. Separating from the fact that already the whole notion that you think you're giving God such a special gift when He gave you everything to begin with, so already we have to figure out our attitude towards bringing a carbon in the first place. We feel a little bit like it's a chutzpah. But especially to think you can pull a fast one on God and not only think you're impressing Him with a gift, but the gift's not really from you, the gift is stolen from somebody else. There is a lot there that is to laugh at, but especially if we understand that the purpose of the Korban is to bring something of yourself rather than to give God something He needs. So the notion that that could be accomplished at all through bringing someone else's thing, on top of the Aveira and on top of the other inconsistencies, it shows that you really have no idea what's flying when it comes to the concept of a Korban. And Rav Nevensal, as I mentioned, has a sicha about this in the very beginning of Vayikra. And there he also adds the notion that we're engaged in v'halachta b'drachah when we bring a korban. So we are trying to give just as God is giving. And God is giving exclusively. He doesn't take. So to try to imitate God's giving, but to do so through the pilfering of somebody else, to do so through the taking of someone else, is really something which is inherently absurd. So this is something which certainly affects the whole tenor of the discussion about korbanos. And especially because korbanos are there as a method of appeasement, as something that we are trying to use to get on God's good side. So this is one of the terutzim that we find when it comes to the discussion on Daf Tes. You know, in a sense, we had to pick where to talk about this, so we had different factors that decided when we talked about what sugya when. So really, the home of mitzvah haba b'aveira in Maseches Sukkah is the third parak, Lulav HaGezel, But in a sense, Daf Tess, as we were holding last semester, really is a very appropriate place for discussion as well, because so many important points from the Rishonim circle this discussion on Daf Tess. So the question of why is it that the Gemara there needs a pasuk to exclude a stolen sukkah? So we mentioned that there were basically three general approaches that we talked about. One is to say that mitzvah habavi avera is drabanan, and the stolen sukkah is pasul min haTorah. Now that statement, like a lot of these answers, tells us something about mitzvah habavi avera and something about sukkah, because either way, it puts sukkah front and center, like we said a minute ago. It means that it has some unique sensitivity to Avera, more so than other mitzvos. Other mitzvos, the psul is only drabanan. The whole concept mitzvah of Avera would be drabanan. And sukkah is going to be special. So that's something to think about in and of itself. We mentioned last week the idea that the sukkah is about us living in God's house, essentially, for the week, or in a setting in which we feel God's presence even more acutely than we do the rest of the year. And maybe that's one reason why, at the very beginning, the notion of allowing it to be tainted by such transgression is something that undermines the whole concept. The idea that mitzvah bav yaver is drabanan is a fascinating one. We've seen psukim invoked in the context of mitzvah bavi avera, but either they're not from Chumash, or they're not necessarily addressing all situations directly, or other reasons not to necessarily sign on to that as a concept d'oraisa. But the notion that it's drabanan is something we're going to have to think about, because what exactly, it affects the question of what exactly does mitzvah bavi avera do? Right? Is mitzvah bavi avera an iser? Is that what we're saying? What do I mean by saying it's an Isser? Because this is really a question you could ask. Is it something which, basically the halacha tells you, don't you try bringing a stolen carbon. Don't you try using a stolen lulav and esrog for the mitzvah. Basically, it's an instruction to you about what you can and cannot do. And if that's all it is, so then that prompts the question of what would happen if you did it. And so what would happen if you did bring a stolen lulav? So first of all, let's say, why would you do that? Either because you're an avarian, or because you don't have any other kind of lulav, which, very important to emphasize, so let's say you don't have any other kind of lulav, still it's clear, we wouldn't say, okay, so steal a lulav, because you have no choice, because that's clearly at least a minimum what it's saying, that you're not allowed to do that. But let's say a person does this. So was he mekayim a mitzvah? Do we say that pasul means pasul midrabanan, but the mitzvah is still there? So that is akin, I think, as somebody mentioned the other day, it's a little bit akin to what we discussed earlier in the year, when there are other drabanan issues that get in the way. So if somebody takes the lulav on Shabbos, is there at least a key of mitzvah? Right there, you could have that kind of framework to ask. The idea that we don't take a lulav on Shabbos, is that an iser, that Chazal said you're not allowed to take a lulav on Shabbos? Or did Chazal somehow, assuming this power is vested in them, remove the concept of lulav on Shabbos, so there is no mitzvah at all? So, especially if we say this psul is drabanan, that seems to be a fair question to ask when it comes to mitzvah bavi avera. Essentially, that Chazal told us not to use this item, even if that's all we got? Or did Chazal have the ability to negate its mitzvah fulfillment? So that's something interesting to consider. Now, Tosfos on Daf Lamed, if you've had a chance to see it, Tosfos on Daf Lamed Mishum, first Tosfos on the page. So Tosfos here is a very useful Tosfos also, if you can only have one source to look at, because Tosfos brings together a lot of ideas and positions related to mitzvah habavi avera. And Tosfos takes stands which may put it at odds with other Rishonim. So among them, it seems to have the implication in Tosfos that mitzvah babi avera is a psul d'oraisa. Right, the last white line, the afal gav, the krug of a carbon ksiv, even though the pasuk is in the context of carbon, hu hadin b'chol mitzvos to have d'oraisa. Right, so it sounds like Tosfos' position is that the psul of mitzvah babi avera is by all things. To say it's simply an isser, like we suggested a minute ago, is difficult, because you have to figure out what the chiddush is. Would you have thought without this that you should steal if you don't have a lulav and esrog? So it's a difficult position to take. You could say that maybe your havamina was, I say dochalosa, say, as the question has been brought up. And maybe you could say that you would have thought, if there's no other way to fulfill the mitzvah, then that's what's appropriate. So we needed Chazal to come and tell us not that way. So Chazal, it's still difficult to understand, because what you're saying is that Minat Torah should have been. So there's this inherent challenge in saying that mitzvah habavi avera is rabbanan that we have to figure out. Because if it's just a psul, if it's just an isser, so it seems like that isser is self-evident. Right? And if it's not self-evident, so I understand why you could need a pasuk to tell you, because maybe you have the havamina of asei dochalos asei. But if you're saying it is drabanan and it's only an isser, so then it seems like min haTorah, yeah, you should have stolen a lulav to do it. But Chazal came and prohibited it, which is very hard to believe on a lot of different levels. So then it seems like you have to say that midrabanan, they were mafkiya the mitzvah, that the isser was always there, but that the hafgah from the mitzvah is the chiddush. And that's a chiddush in the power of Chazal. So it's very interesting. Yes?
Why can't the havamina just be that you would have thought that you would have been yotze? It's still isser, but you still, it would have been two separate things. And the chiddush is that we connect them to say that if you stole it, you're not even going to get the kima mitzvah.
So that could be. I think that's all possible. If at least we assume we're dealing with everything on a level Minat Torah. Right, so if we assume everything is Minat Torah, and we have a pasuk, which we're not clear if we do or not, but let's say we had a pasuk, and our only question was, why do I need a pasuk? What's the havamina? So it's still a useful discussion, that maybe the havamina was that you should do this, or maybe like you're saying, no, everyone agrees, you clearly shouldn't do this, but the havamina was that if you did it, maybe it was good. So the pasuk comes and tells you not that way. But to say it is drabanan, what does that mean? Does that mean that min haTorah, what's the difference between the Torah law and the rabbanan law, according to Tosfos?
Between min haTorah that you still, that are separate. That's not that.
That you're yotzei min haTorah?
Yeah, that you're yotzei, okay. And also didn't avera separately.
Okay, so that could be, right? Yeah. So I think that's almost the only thing you can say, right? Because you basically have two choices. I'm sorry that I'm pushing you off. I'll take a question in a second. But so basically, you only have two choices, it seems like, right? That either, what's the chiddush of mitzvah habavi avera, right? Either that you would have thought you should do this and you're not allowed to, or that you know you're not allowed to do this, but you would have thought if you did it, it would have at least been a mitzvah, and the chiddush is that it's not. So if we're dealing on a deraisa level, I could hear either of those. If we're dealing on a Rabbanan level, the first one is very difficult, right? To say that the Torah really would have said do this, but the rabbi said don't, it's difficult on a lot of levels, right? It's difficult because it's hard to believe that the Torah wanted you to do this, and Chazal then came and thwarted that. Especially also because this is a values issue, right? You know, this isn't like King Elulav on Shabbos where it's a gezerah. You know, there we could understand there's a difference between the Torah law and the rabbinic law. But here we're talking about, you know, is the Torah's value that you should steal something and the rabbis have a different value? It's just very hard to believe. So presumably, in the Torah, we understand you shouldn't do it. So the only question was, does it actually disqualify the mitzvah after the fact? So if that's the only thing that's left to be the chiddush, So then it means that Chazal have the ability to pasul the mitzvah, not just to forbid it, but to take it out of validity to begin with.
Isn't that
Tosos l'shitasa? Tosos l'shitasa, okay, let's say this, because you're saying Tosos, which other Tosos are you?
Before
that,
yeah, that
Tosan Dev Gimel. Oh, could be right. So it could be right. So that's it, because it comes out the position seemed to align, right? That maybe Chazal have the ability to disqualify a mitzvah, unless you want to say, and you could even say this by both, that let's say when it comes to Lulav. So this is a stretch, because we don't see this really spelled out anywhere like this, that no, they can't really deprive a mitzvah status. But what they can do is they can be mechayev to do it again. Right? So you could say that somebody who stole a lulav, so the lulav, the mitzvah could have been fulfilled, except that the rabbis are mechayev you to act as if you didn't do it, which is hard. Right? So that's a less likely position. So it seems like this Tosfos on Daf Tes, which is against Tosfos and Daf Lamed, so the place for Tosfos and Tosfos in general is difficult, but it sounds like this Tosfos is in accordance with the view, which happens to be like the second Tosfos on Daf Gimel, that there is a power of Chazal to be Mafkia a Kiya Mitzvah. So it's just interesting, because here this Tosfos, you know, isn't often brought into that discussion, Tosfos on Daf Tes. Wow. Look at the effect these sneezes can have. So that Tosfos, sorry, very expensive. So that Tosfos is making, I think, a very interesting statement in terms of what Chazal can do with a. Now Tosfos is not the only Rishon that says this. A few other Rishonim that say this. It's Tosfos on Daf Lamed that seems to be the outlier in disagreeing. So the whole notion of it being a Drabbanan is very interesting. Now, what about the other approaches that we find to Tosfos's question? So another view, which is also held by a number of Rishonim, is that we mentioned also last week the Ritva's view that mitzvah habav yavera is not by all mitzvahs, and that it's primarily by mitzvahs of a certain type, mitzvahs of ritzui. So that has, again, like all these answers, all kinds of chiddushim, because it tells us something else. Tells us something else about the nature of mitzvah habav yavera, about what exactly it is. It's not necessarily an across-the-board disqualification as much as it's something that undermines a certain theme, a certain goal. It happened to be maratzeh when it represents avera, when it represents gezel or some other transgression. And if so, it also tells us something about lulav and esrog, which we haven't, probably after Yantif, it's not so much of a Pesach topic that we have to accelerate the pace, but one of the topics that we should put on our agenda for the near future is just the discussion of what exactly is the message of Lulav and Esrog. So we will, God willing, discuss that, but that's Chiddush here. Now, therefore, to say that when the Ritva is basically telling us that you would not have known this about Sukkah, and we need a special pasuk tell us this about Sukkah. So does that tell us something about the nature of Sukkah also, or is Sukkah operating on a different track? That's also an interesting question to consider. And it's also worth noting that this idea that it's about Ritzui is also not such a minority view. There's a number of other Rishonim that you can find that say something similar, that this concept is really about Ritzoi. It's consistent also with what we said in our introductory words today about the impact it has on the carbon. The carbon specifically clearly has that component to it. and therefore is clearly affected by the Avera. So it's a very interesting theory. Once again, Tosfos and Daf Lamed, the same Tosfos we were just looking at. So Tosfos does not seem to take this position. Tosfos, it's very useful. Tosfos right there in the middle of our sugya, dealing with a lot of topics, and he's like the old standard bearer. It's a daraisa. It's by everything. None of these fancy shitas. You know, he's not gonna sign on to a lot of these other positions. So that Tosfos in our parak here on Daf Lamed is against both of these approaches that we just said, because it says it's daraisa and that it's by all mitzvos. Daniel, yes, we could be waiting for a while.
Yeah. You said that if you say that, even if it's a derabanan, and you still get a kiyum, then it's very hard to say like why you need this avera at all.
Yeah, because then what is the message? If the message is
you get another iser, derabanan, and you do it. As in deraisa, it's usher when you did the avera,
right?
But you still get a kiyum on your, and there's no additional iser once you've done the avera. On a derabanan level, when you actually do the mitzvah, you get
the act of shaking the stolen luba.
You get an extra derabanan. As in, so instead of being over two lot, one for the avera. Sorry, instead of being over one just for the avera, you're now over one for the avera and one for the mitzvah that you did with the item. So that would be an additional teaching, and it's not like you would have, like, and it's something that the Torah didn't say was forbidden, that you don't get an extra lav. Mm-hmm. They're always added that you get an extra lav when you try to use it for a mitzvah.
See, and it's especially, you assume, if we're talking about something like Gezel. Right, so we're not saying don't steal a lulav in order to be yotzei. We're saying don't take your soul to lulav.
Yes,
so the avera is already done. So here we're saying an additional iser not to use it for the purposes of a mitzvah.
Yeah, because like, everybody, I think, agrees that Torah says you can't do the avera. The question is what happens with the mitzvah afterwards. So we're going to say, like, even if you get a kiyum from mitzvah, you still get an extra iser with it if you try to do it. Because it's sort of like throwing it in God's face. Like, oh, you took the item you're the avera with, and now you're trying to use that. So you get an extra iser for that. That's like maybe one way to explain it, according, like why you can say Tosos could still hold that opinion, that you still get a kiyum.
Okay, I hear it.
The other thing is, in Tosos and Daf Tes, it seems like he doesn't subscribe to that opinion at all. He talks about the idea of being puzzled, like right. Very, like, you cannot fulfill your kiyum. So it doesn't seem like you, according to Tosos, you get a kiyum whatsoever.
Right. That's what we're trying to figure out. So that's consistent with what we said in Tosos. That because to say the Chiddush is just that you can't do it, that's hard to ascribe to a Derabbanan.
So I was thinking that it seems like you could. It does. The opinion makes sense, but I don't think Tosfos says it because of the language he uses in the test about being puzzle, like uses like paslinan and uses that like it's limiguta, like to exclude this from seemingly the ability to do a mitzvah. So like, it doesn't seem like that could be that Tosfos would hold that opinion based on his words, but it seems like it's a legitimate shita.
Which again is consistent with the other Tosfos. That's an interesting question in general. Why? What we mean with someday the winter will be over. What we mean, Chodesh Aviv started, so I have to stop saying it. The whole language of puzzle, what it means, is interesting. Because doesn't Argamar at the very beginning raise the question of what that language means, right? The very first lines of Gemara in Masechta Sukkah. He asked about the difference between Mavoi and Sukkah. And our Mishnah said Sukkah is Psula. So Maishna Gabi Sukkah Diksani Psula Tani Psula. Maishna Gabi Mavoi Tani Takanta. Sukkah Daraisa Tani Psula. Mavoi Darabana and Tani Takanta. So the very opening words of Gemara in Masechta Sukkah is that Pasul is a language for Daraisas, which some have associated with the position of the Nesivis that distinguishes between a Isser in the Chefta and an Isser on the individual. So either way, it brings up the question of saying Mitzvah Babi Avera is a Psul Derabanan. So already it's a little bit uneasy because Pasul, according to the Gemara here, is a language for Deraises and not for Derabanans. But okay, so let's accept that we'll use it for Derabanan here, according to Tosus. But then the question still is open. So does it mean something different than when we say it by Daraisa, where it means the whole fulfillment is not there at all? Or because it's Drabanan, could it be that the word, as awkward as it already is, means something a little bit different? So that's also something to explore. Yes, sir.
It's also interesting because the Gemara and Arsi also use the word idea of Takanta, of like just like Psiah has like Les Tecanta, so too.
Less late Tecanta, right.
Les Tecanta is like uses the same language of Tecanta.
Except it's less late. So
yeah,
maybe,
as in like,
right, so exactly. If anything, that could then maybe pushing it back into the Raisa territory.
Yeah, but like the Gemara and Dafbet also offers alternative explanation of just like there's too many things we're listing.
So right, so it's not the only answer of the Gemara.
Also, the question was on Daf Lamentosus raises a question on himself and Shlizi has a question about the case I think of the Teva. And he says, why do we need a pasuk there if we have a Teva there? And he didn't provide an answer. And it seems that very same question is one that Tosus on Daf Tes uses to prove Mike's Derabana. So like, how do we explain that?
How explain Tosos not being...
As in like, Tosos are not long.
Yeah, so we can discuss, we'll discuss Tevel and see whether it really fits into the same category or not. See if we get to that today. But it's an interesting question, just what impact it has on the whole discussion. Because Tevel by Matzah, it could be that the whole discussion is a little bit different. Okay, so now, the third approach to Tosos, again, it's one that we mentioned last week, but I think we left off on this point. And it's also, like all of these, an answer that has implications for everything that's a part of the sentence. And that was the Milchas Chinuch. The Milchas Chinuch's controversial position about Sukkah and Mitzvah Havavi Avera, where he says that if all we had was the din of Mitzvah Havavi Avera, all that would tell us is that somebody who sat in a stolen Sukkah, when it comes time for Yom HaDin, he can't hand in his voucher and expect to get any extra mitzvah points for that, because there's no schar mitzvah for this mitzvah habavi aver. That's the impact of mitzvah habavi aver. But it would not be considered as if he is mavakil the mitzvah of sukkah. So it wouldn't be whatever we call this quasi isser of eating outside of sukkah. You wouldn't be subject to that. But comes the pasuk and tells you that a stolen sukkah is no different than your living room. And therefore, there's absolutely nothing, and you are levatalias. So here again, like all of these answers, this has implications for sukkah, and it has implications for the concept of mitzvah habavi aveira. What is the impact of mitzvah habavi aveira, and what is the obligation of sukkah? So we saw hints of this earlier on. There are those who don't accept this whole categorization of sukkah, as if sukkah is essentially just something there to address a problem, and mitzvah habavi aveira would mean the problem is still addressed, even though you're not getting tzchar for it. So in other words, what the Menches Chinuch seems to be saying is that there's a difference between lulav and sukkah. That lulav, I need to do this mitzvah, I have this obligation to pick up a lulav. And if it's stolen, I can't use it for my obligation. But sukkah, there isn't anything I have to do. I just have to make sure I'm not sitting outside of sukkah. So a stolen sukkah could have sufficed for that. Until the pasuk came and said no. So is that an appropriate characterization of sukkah? That's all sukkah is? Right, if you recall, we saw that Rav Yosef Engel took issue with this, and he drew a distinction between tzitzis and sukkah on this issue. Right, we were talking about the concept of nashim, remember this was a few weeks ago, where Rav Yosef Engel explained that there's no point in women volunteering the mitzvah of tzitzis, because it's just there to fix a four-cornered garment, and if there's no problem for them to wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzis, there's no value in volunteering it. But he then said at the end, I think some of you have read this inside by now, right? But he then said at the end that one should not come to the conclusion that sukkah and tzitzis are comparable in this way. And there is a point in women sitting in the sukkah and fulfilling that voluntarily. So there he mentions this Menches Chinuch. It's that, especially now that we're revisiting it, anyone who wants to take the opportunity to read the Asma Daraisa inside, now would be a good time, because it'll reinforce both sugyas. So he doesn't see this as such a clear way to read this. He also addresses this, the Sefer Gilyonei Hashatz, not to be confused, although you can confuse whatever you want, but I wouldn't recommend confusing it with the Gilyon Hashatz. Who's the Gilyon Hashatz? Gilyan Hashas is Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he appears on the side of the pages of the Gemara when he has something to say. The Gilyone Hashas is Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel has Chidushim on the Daf, in addition to all the essays for him that we often make reference to. He has notations that go in the order of Shas, so that's called Gilyone Hashas. So there also, he on Daf Tes, he raises this objection to the position of the Minchas Chinuch, as well as the Shari Osher. Who is the Shari Osher? Shimon Shkop. Those were Shimon Shkop's biggest claim to fame, the year that he was a Rebbe at Yeshivas Yitzchak. Others will tell you his long career as Shimon tells, but in Europe and all that, that's all great, but we know the truth. So, he was a great Gaon, Shimon Shkop. So he doesn't think that this is the right way to view it. He thinks that there isn't really a difference between Lulav and Sukkah, except that Sukkah, the circumstances don't always call for it. But when the circumstances call for it, he says, so then it's like Lulav. So we have an obligation to take a Lulav every day, and we have an obligation to take a Sukkah, to sit in a Sukkah when we're having a meal. But when that's the case, when we're having a meal, so then it's an obligation on the individual. It's a mitzvah to do. So to say that somehow it's going to change, it's going to just be about not being outside the sukkah, he didn't buy that. But theoretically, were the details correct, there is an interesting path to consider here. And the question of, is it the case that mitzvah habah bi'aveira is subject to such a distinction? Should we say that there are two kinds of mitzvos? That there are some mitzvah where there's an obligation to do this act, and if that's the case, mitzvah habah bi'aveira is no good. And there's a mitzvah where you have to reach a certain goal. And in that case, if you reach that goal, then even if you did it bi'aveira, but the goal is still considered to be accomplished. So that distinction is worth exploring, even if one doesn't accept the Minchas Chinuch's position. And it's comparable to another sugya. There is also a very big Shas sugya, which has relevance to a lot of things. The concept of mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Right? Do we say that a mitzvah, in order to be fulfilled, requires intent and awareness? So there also, the question could come up, maybe we should distinguish. Maybe we should say that a mitzvah that's about doing this action specifically, you need to have kavana in order for it to be good. But a mitzvah that's a means to an end, even without kavana, maybe that end is still accomplished. So there is a discussion about the paralleling between the two, mitzvah habah bi'aveira, mitzvah srichos kavana. But again, just to recap, what's the parallel? That maybe in both cases, when an action is important, that action is disqualified if it was either done by aveira or was done without kavana. But a mitzvah that's about getting to a goal, that goal will still be considered accomplished even if it was done by aveira or without kavana. So, though there may be such a parallel between the two sugyas, and one discussion of this you could find, if you can find the sefer, there's a great Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, if you've heard of him, by the name of Rav Shlomo Fischer. Is that a familiar name? So Rav Shlomo Fischer is the author of the Sefer Beis Yishai. Beis Yishai more recently has come out as Drashos, but the older Sefer is a very broad and sweeping Sefer on Sugyas HaShas. So it covers the entire Shas, so a certain amount of Sugyas. It's a two-volume set. His style is very difficult. He enters the discussion late, already coming from the Acharonim. Like in this case, he'll start with the Shari Yosher before even telling you about the Minchas Chinuch or the Gemara or anything else. Very, very Acharonish Sefer. But it's very, very lumdish and interesting, if that's where you're holding at. And so he has an essay about mitzvah haba b'aveira and mitzvah srichas kavan and this possible parallel between them. So that's something to consider. So as we indicated, this whole sugya seems to, this approach of Hilchos Chinuch, you can argue with how he characterizes the mitzvah of sukkah, which we see a number of svarim do. But let's assume he was right about that. But what about mitzvah haba b'aveira, how that fits into his formulation? So the idea that it affects a kiyum mitzvah rather than a accomplishment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is about getting to a certain goal, then mitzvah haba b'aveira does not change that. But it's just in terms of the schar, in terms of the fulfillment, to say you are mekayim a mitzvah, that you won't be able to do if there's an aveira involved. So there's a very fascinating discussion that Shechter Shlita has in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, which has to do with shofar. By now you've seen the Rambam about the shofar, the Rambam and the Ravid, about shofar and gezel. All right, so what does the Rambam say? What's the din of a stolen shofar according to the Rambam? Thumbs up? Well, it's a little too enthusiastic. But maybe it's like this. What does he say? What does he say? You're still Mekayim. Yeah, thumbs up is too much of an endorsement. Right, Ein B'Kol Din Gezel, which sounds, by the way, like it has a relevance to some of the contemporary issues like of downloading music and things like that. It may actually have some relevance, but that's a different discussion. But the notion of saying that Kol is not subject to Gezel, that's a fascinating statement. And Rav Shechter has it in a Sefer in a connection of a whole different issue. That it's a connection of a bunch of different issues. When it comes to shofar, this requires a little bit of introduction. When it comes to shofar, there is a machlokas rishonim. What is the mitzvah of shofar? Is the mitzvah tkia? Or is the mitzvah shmiya? So the Rush in Rosh Hashanah, the Rush quotes, did we talk about this year? I remember in the beginning of the year, did we talk about this, Rosh Hashanah time? Right, so the Rush quotes a machlokas rishonim as to what the bracha is. Does the bracha on shofar, what's the verb? Does it use the verb tkiyas shofar or tkoas shofar? Or does it use the verb shmiya? L'shmoa kol shofar or al shmiyas shofar? I'm trying to set aside the issue of al and lif for a second. But what is the verb? Is the verb shmiya or tkiyah? So this is a machlokas harishonim. Most of the Rishonim focus on Shmiya. So it sounds like the issue in the Rishonim is, talk about Shmiya, it's key, I guess. Okay. So it seems like the issue in the Rishonim, the way the Rosh understands it, is what's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah tkiya or is the mitzvah Shmiya? So, Rav Shechter discussed in the Sefer, I believe this may be from Rav Soloveitchik, that you could say differently. You could say that the issue is not one or the other, that either the mitzvah is tekiya and the mitzvah is shmiya, or one way or the other, and that's what the Rishonim are fighting about. But it could be that the question is, what do we make brachos on in general? Because sometimes a mitzvah has two parts. There's an action, and there's a kiyum, there's a fulfillment, and they are separate from each other. Usually they're not separate. Matzah. Okay, you eat matzah, that is the maisa ha-mitzvah, and that is where you are mekayim the mitzvah. Lulav, you pick up a lulav, that is the maisa, and that is where you fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. So they happen together. Usually they're not separate. But occasionally they are separate. especially if, let's say, there's an emotional component. So here, as we approach Yontif, Rav Soloveitchik was often quoted as explaining that, let's say, Simchas Yontif. The real kiyum of Simchas Yontif is an emotional kiyum, that we should feel joy on the festival. But we can't just turn that on and off. So therefore, we have actions that are associated with Simcha that we are obligated to do on Yontif. So we meet, we drink wine, and things like that. These are actions that are associated with Simcha, and the goal is it will bring the emotional aspect of Simcha. So the Maisa HaMitzvah there is the eating meat, and the Kiyum HaMitzvah is the joy that comes from doing that. So it could be that when it comes to shofar, you have a similar dynamic. That really the goal of shofar is that we should all hear the message, as they like to say, the clarion call of the shofar, we should all hear it. Like that's really the goal of the mitzvah of shofar. But that doesn't happen on autopilot, and if it did, it wouldn't be valid. We have to do something to provide the call so that we can hear it. So the tkiah is the maisa hamitzvah. So when it comes to shofar, perhaps we have such a distinction that shofar, there is the blowing of the shofar, the tkiah, that is the maisa hamitzvah. And the mitzvah is fulfilled, really, the kiyum hamitzvah comes through the shmiah. So then, he suggests that perhaps that's the machlokas harishonim. Not that the rishonim are divided on the question of what is the mitzvah, is it tkiyah or is it shmiah? Maybe they could both agree on this thesis, that the maisa hamitzvah is the tkiyah, and the fulfillment is the shmiah. And the machlokas is, what do you make a bracha on? When mitzvahs come in two parts, do you make a bracha on the maisa? That's the view of the minority of the Rishonim. Do you make a bracha on tkiyah shofar? Or do you make the bracha on the kiyum? And that's the view of the majority of the Rishonim. Do you make the bracha on shmiah? Just to give a little bit of a parallel, but it's a little bit of a different kind. It illustrates it a different way. You know, we're going to be in a few weeks starting Sfiras HaOmer. I'm sure we'll have some opportunity to discuss Sfiras HaOmer in a little bit detail. So Sfiras HaOmer is always the question that comes up. Is Sfiras HaOmer one mitzvah or is it 49 mitzvahs? So some will say, well, it's clearly 49 mitzvahs. I'll bring you a big proof that it's 49 mitzvahs. What's the proof that they bring? Bracha. You make 49 brachos. So if you make 49 brachos, doesn't that mean that it's 49 mitzvos? So you could say no, it's not necessarily a proof, because maybe it's one big goal to count the process, to count the span between Pesach and Shavuos. And there are 49 actions that contribute to that. So there's one kiyum, and there's 49 maisim of counting. And maybe a bracha is associated with a maisa, not with a kiyum. Maybe we can't necessarily prove anything from the fact that we have 49 brachos. Maybe brachos don't attach themselves to a kiyum mitzvah, which would only be one, but maybe every time you do an action that is an action of the mitzvah, you have a bracha, even though they're all contributing to one big process. So this is a question that's open to debate. What do you make brachos on? And maybe that's why the Rishonim argue what bracha should be on shofar. So what does that have to do with us at all? So now let's go back to the Rambam. What's the Rambam saying when the Rambam maintains that if you have a stolen shofar, which we are not recommending, but if you happen to have a stolen shofar and you blow that shofar, that the mitzvah is still fulfilled. And he says, Ein bekol din gezel. Right? Because he's clearly working off of his premise that the mitzvah is shmiah. So that question of what the mitzvah is leaves open two candidates for the Chafetz Shel Mitzvah. What is the object that is the tool for the mitzvah of shofar? If the mitzvah was tkiyah, so then you could say the shofar is the tool. But if the mitzvah is the shmiya, so then the tool is the sound that comes out of the shofar. So what the Rambam is emphasizing here, and there are Rishonim who disagree. The Raivan issues one disagreement there on the spot. Other Rishonim disagree in a different way. But what the Rambam seems to be saying here is that since the mitzvah is Shmiya, so the Chafetza is sound. If it would be that the mitzvah had been tkiya, the Chafetza could have been the shofar. And then we could start questioning what happens if the shofar was stolen. But because the mitzvah is the sound, the shmiya, and sound is ephemeral, sound cannot be stolen, so therefore it's not subject to mitzvah haba bi'aveir. Yes, sir.
But isn't that the fact that the Rambam says specifically that there's no din of gzeila by kol, does that imply that he does hold mitzvah haba bi'aveir? And the only word not...
Yes, yeah, he does acknowledge the concept of mitzvah haba bi'aveir, and that's something we'll have to build on. So there's two chidushim. I'll take your point. There's two chidushim that are coming out of the Rambam. One is how he is understanding the psul of mitzvah haba bi'aveira in terms of what it applies to. It's chafetz connection, and that's something we're going to have to pursue in greater detail tomorrow. But he also is saying something which can be explained by this mitzvah chinuch, and that I'll explain now after taking Yami's question.
Is this the basis? I haven't seen the side, but that of rubs wish for Hanukkah.
Where did that say that? I didn't see that.
I don't know. Somebody told me.
It's interesting. I didn't see that. No, it could be. I didn't see it. But so this connects to the Minchas Chinuch, as is discussed over there in Eretz Tzvi and elsewhere. That what the Menchas Chinuch is telling us in his comment about Sukkah is that if you have a Maisa and a Kiyum, even if they're at the same time, right, let's say by Sukkah, where they're not separated per se, but what Mitzvah Habavi Aveirah does is it drains your Kiyum HaMitzvah. Your Kiyum HaMitzvah, the schar for a mitzvah, that comes from your having fulfilled a religious duty, that you're not going to get. But the Maisa is still there. The Maisa is still standing. So therefore, you're still sitting in a sukkah. There's just no schar mitzvah for it. So when it comes to shofar, if shofar is made up of two components, is made up of a Maisa that involves a shofar, and a kiyum that involves sound. So the only area where mitzvah haba bi'aveira can have an effect based on the Menchas Chinuch is on the kiyum. If the maisa were vulnerable, then we'd have to worry about the stolen shofar, because the shofar would be the tool for the maisa, and that would be a problem. But because the Menchas Chinuch is teaching us that mitzvah haba bi'aveira attacks a kiyum, so since the kiyum happens in the shmiya, and the shmiya comes through sound, and sound is ephemeral and not subject to being stolen, so for technical reasons, the mitzvah of shofar escapes mitzvah haba bi'aveira. So you see there's a lot of moving parts there. Zach?
That seems to be the only one, though.
The only what?
In that example, that seems to be the only mitzvah that, like, it gets around the technical...
I wouldn't say it's the only one necessarily.
Like sound, like, obviously, like, can't be stolen, but, like, everything else, like...
Well, I think really went to sharpen. I don't think it means the only mitzvah, because there are a lot of mitzvahs that would be similar to this, but I think the mitzvah that has something you can illustrate, you know, that since this mitzvah does seem to associate with an object, so then you can start wondering where it applies, and it's a unique exclusion. But there are other mitzvahs like Kriya Shema, which you know not necessarily going to have a slot in this discussion. So I wouldn't say it's the only mitzvah, but it's among those that you would have thought are subject to this kind of an issue that has something that takes that out of the discussion. Okay, so yes, sir.
Can you explain how Mechassinuch
understands Shofar? So Mechassinuch is talking about Sukkah. But what emerges from the Mechassinuch is that the effect, you can view it like a virus, right? The Mitzvah Habavia virus. So you look at it like medically, right? That this is a virus that has an effect on the entity. So what does it do? It attacks a Kiyum Mitzvah. A Kiyum Mitzvah falls away under the impact of this virus. But a Maisa HaMitzvah is left standing. Right? So therefore, what the Mechassinuch seems to be saying that, he seems to be saying that you're not going to get any points for sitting in a stolen sukkah. Because the Kiyum Mitzvah is drained away because of Mitzvah HaMavia there. But the sukkah is still there. The action, the physicality is still there. And therefore, even if it's an aver, it's still a sukkah. So you're eating in a sukkah, you're just not getting any points. And then the drasha of the pasuk tells us, no, it's not even that. But just if Mitzvah Babi Avera would have only had that limited impact.
So
to move that formula over to shofar, since shofar, okay, we have a mice of blowing the shofar and a kiyum that comes from hearing the shofar. So it's only the kiyum which is vulnerable to the virus of the Mitzvah Babi Avera. So therefore, since that doesn't have a chefta, it doesn't have anything that's subject to being stolen. So for technical reasons, you don't have a ptur, you don't have a psul, rather, of mitzvah habavi avera by shofar. Working off of the chesinah's distinction between the kiyum ha-mitzvah and the action itself.
Well, I'm going to say the opposite of that. Just like there's no kiyum, there's the chefta shel sukkah, and you don't get the kiyum of sitting in it, so too, there's the chefta shel shofar. You don't get the kiyum here.
Because the kiyum is only in the sound was not stolen. Now that brings us into the second chiddush of the Rambam, which we haven't discussed yet, and that's what we'll pick up tomorrow. That you see the Rambam, in addition to having a certain opinion about what shofar is, and maybe ascribing to the Mechas Chinuch about it being a kiyum issue, but also is associating it specifically with a chefza. The idea that Mitzvah HaBavi Avera attaches to a chatzo and disqualifies it. And that's what we'll have to pick up tomorrow to address that question a little bit.
So all of you said, like, for Big Adol, you have still, like, shofar is similar to, I feel like shofar should be similar to lulav and to karbanos in that they're all sort of acting as a certain kapara, perhaps. And so, therefore, if it's a, still it's, there's a stolen aspect to it, I feel like that would still not be okay to use. For that
I'll tell
reason.
You, now that's worth exploring, which is very interesting, because just, I'll leave you on this, because we're going to run out of time, but to whatever extent, as the Yerushalmi suggests, there is a relationship between Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegor and Mitzvah HaBavi Avera, whether it's just linguistic, whether it's the actual concept. So I think we alluded to the other day that the view of the Rishonim that Ritzoy is particularly sensitive to Mitzvah HaBavi Avera. So that makes sense because Vein Kateger Nasa Sanegor. So if you want the mitzvah to be an advocate, you want it to be a Sanegor, it shouldn't also be a Kategor, it shouldn't be the evidence of your transgression. So that the Gemara Taka makes such a distinction by Inkateger Nasa Sanegor. The Gemara says that something that is Balaratzos should not be done through a Kategor, through an Avera. So it lines up well to say Mitzvah above the Avera also only possibles those kinds of things. But the Gemara says that Shofar is subject to that. So how do you square that with the Rambam? That's an interesting question. That's b'chlal an interesting question. We have to see if that is a way to, even without all the fancy lumdus we've seen today, there's probably a basis to ask that question. And that's something we'll have to figure out. Okay, I didn't, since this is very time for me, I won't take the time to review, but everyone clear everything we said? Anything, should I quickly recap? Are you cool? Alright, everyone more or less, got it? Okay, so, all right, so we'll pick up tomorrow with that Chafetz point and see where we can go with that. So who wants to daven for us? Daniel, you look like you're prepping. All right.